Hello everyone, this is Betty and I'm reading from the News Gazette on Friday, October 2nd. So let's get to the Restore Illinois Phase 4 and it's day 99. And information about what's happening in Illinois with the coronavirus. Illinois now has 295,440 cases, which is up 2,166. And we have 8,696 deaths, which was an increase of 25. In Champaign County, we have 4,793, and that was an increase of 56 cases and 22 deaths. In Douglas County, we have 332 cases, which is an increase of 7 cases with 7 deaths. Ford, we have 164 cases, no increase, and 5 deaths. In Piatt County, we have 151 cases, no increase, and 0 deaths. Vermilion, we have 732 cases, that's an increase of 31, and 5 deaths. And it says in here that a woman in her 80s with underlying conditions became the 22nd Champaign County resident and second in as many days to lose their life to COVID-19. Vermilion County also reported a fatality, its 5th, involving a man in his 70s. The U of I called off all study abroad trips for the spring semester Thursday, noting that if the rate of COVID-19 transmission and continued uncertainty suggests that it is not yet appropriate to resume the international program. Another little blurb says, all 10 Danville Correctional Center staffers who tested positive have recovered, according to the state. But the virus remains active in Vermilion, where 31 new cases made the 7-day positivity rate jump from 7.8% to 8.2%. And in Douglas County, reported its most new cases in a week, 7, including kids aged 2, 3, and 8, prompting health officials to caution residents that Region 6 is inching closer to having mitigation measures put in place by the state. And the last little blurb is Illinois' 7-day rate of 3.5% is 15th lowest nationally and enviable in a Midwest, with Wisconsin having a 21.1% positivity rate. Iowa has a 17.2%. Kansas has 15.5%, and Missouri 15.3%. Tops in the region, Michigan has a 3.0 positivity rate. And all this information was by Jeff D'Alessio. There's a picture on the front page with a little caption says, what season is this? And it's a windshield is covered in slush after Thursday afternoon's hailstorm that blew through Champaign. And then a car also drives through the slush. And I live on the north side of Urbana, and this must have just happened in the south, because we certainly did not have any hail or slush or anything like this north of Urbana. We also have a picture here of a front yard of Dave Burge that is just covered in pink petunias. And the whole thing has to do with Top of the Morning. And writer Bob Asmussen says, looking for a pick-me-up on a cloudy day? Drive through the 1200 block of Broadmoor Drive in Champaign to see a floral masterpiece courtesy of Dave and Nancy Burge. The yard at their home is covered in pink petunias, and it was a beautiful picture. There are oodles of plants and hanging baskets, too. Nancy insists on pink to match their salmon-covered house. The Burges have been planting the super petunia bubblegum flowers for about 5 years. Before that, they had junipers, then impatiens, then giant begonias. David Burge, 70, works for the Champaign Park District. One of his duties is taking care of the fountain at Westside Park. That's where he saw the pink petunias. They were absolutely stunning, Dave Burge said. The first year, Burge ordered hundreds of the plants from Country Arbor's nursery and went to work. Almost immediately, passersby stated to make comments about the flowers, very nice comments. There isn't a day goes by where I don't see somebody stop and take pictures. One fan called Burge the petunia whisperer. The flowers are annuals, meaning Burge needs to start over every year. He puts in just under 100 new plants each spring. Burge plants the flowers the third week of May. By mid-July, they are flourishing and look continues until the first heavy frost. They are so thick, I have to roll them up like carpets. Burge grew up on a farm near Melvin. He has lived in Champaign since 1956. The Burge will celebrate the 48th anniversary later this month. Have they considered shaking up the yard and trying something new besides pink petunias? Nah, I don't know that I can top it. And the pink are Super Tunia Bubblegum, and the white are Super Tunia Silver Bells. He also has Seminole Pink Tropical Hibiscus and Pink Knockout Roses. On the front page of the News Gazette, it says, if Chicago can be its own region, why can't Champaign County? This article is by Deborah Pressey. Local officials are calling on the state to make Champaign County its own region when determining if and when mitigation restrictions for COVID-19 should kick in. Under the state's regional plan, Champaign County's fate continues to be linked to those of 20 others in the region. But as of Wednesday, the county's COVID-19 data is being excluded after Illinois Department of Public Health Director Ngozi Ezeki said the University of Illinois' testing volume is overshadowing trends in the 21-county region. The mayors of Champaign and Urbana quickly responded that excluding the data but keeping the county linked to 20 others is unfair after it's made sacrifices to achieve its lower COVID-19 positivity rate even without the U of I testing data. We have already sacrificed, Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin said. We have high compliances and we have low positivity rates, and it just doesn't make any sense to lump us in with all the other counties. Champaign Mayor Deb Frank Finan said Champaign County is unique not only in the state but in the nation in how it's handled its pandemic response, and both the U of I and community as a whole have worked hard to keep the positivity rate down and to bring U of I students back safely. Local businesses have sacrificed, particularly those in Campus Town, in ways that others in the region have not. And now that they are back open for business, to impose on them the regional statistics is just patently unfair and heartbreaking. Without Champaign County's data included, the 21-county region is currently standing at the threshold of mitigation measures to be enforced. Triggering that step would be 3 consecutive days in which the test positivity rate is 8% or higher, or when hospital capacity diminishes. The region as a whole had a 2.2% positivity rate, but with Champaign County data excluded, has jumped to a 7.1% positivity rate, with about one-third of the counties at 8% or higher, and one county, Fayette, at 14.1%, according to the most recent 7-day positivity rate update on September 28th. Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Deputy Administrator Awe Vade said simply separating U of I testing numbers from the Champaign County's totals wouldn't be feasible. We have always said on day one, and the university agrees, that the U of I testing is not in a bubble. all the rapid testing being done by the U of I for students, faculty, and staff not only has helped bring students back safely, the surrounding communities benefit from this as well. Vade and both mayors also said there is also already precedent in the state for individual regions in other areas of the state, among them Cook County and the city of Chicago. What we have been saying here is that what we have here in our community is different from anywhere in the country. If Chicago can be its own region, why can't Champaign County? Marlin said local officials were trying to schedule a call with the governor's office for later Thursday to discuss Champaign County becoming a single county region. Measures already taken in the local community, among them reducing permitted gathering sizes, restricting bar entry ages, and guiding bar and restaurant seating, have resulted in a countywide positivity rate of 2.5% without the university's testing data and 1.5% with the university data included, according to Marlin. Our businesses have sacrificed and our residents have sacrificed, and I think it's just ridiculous that we're being thrown in with the other counties that haven't done these things, Marlin said. The U of I agrees with the health district and the mayor's, university spokesman Robin Kalin said. We have worked closely with them and other community partners to offer an innovative approach to managing the pandemic. In fact, without their leadership and innovative efforts, our approach would not have been feasible. Our joint efforts are demonstrating that large-scale, frequent, and fast turnaround testing as a component of a holistic set of community-wide COVID-19 safety protocols can drastically reduce the spread of the disease. Kaler went on to say, the U of I's approach offers a model for safely reopening the economy during a pandemic. Rather than penalizing it, the state should, as the mayor suggests, highlight it as an opportunity for our state and the nations by singling out Champaign County as a unique region in our state, she said. And as a sideline also, this is by Deborah Pressey, area health official, Champaign County's virus data helped region. At least two area county health department officials aren't happy to see Champaign County's COVID-19 data pulled from their 21-county region. Vermilion County Health Department Administrator Doug Toole said he understands that a high volume of testing being done by the University of Illinois is making metrics for the entire region lopsided. On the other hand, their results have been helping the positivity rates in our region for a while now. I hate to see them go. Douglas County Health Department Administrator Amanda Miner predicted a huge difference in positivity rates for the region without Champaign County data included. It's difficult to enforce the mitigation measures that are already in place, she said, and adding more would be even more difficult. People just need to be aware of other people, Miner said. It just seems like we are so self-consumed on our lives and what we're missing out on instead of these individuals who have no choice. Vermilion County more than doubled its number of COVID-19 cases in September, starting the month with 330 and ending with 701. Toole said the disease has been working its way through entire families in Vermilion County, with public health seeing familiar family names and addresses with new cases. Vermilion County's positivity rate, which was in the 6% and 7% ranges in mid to late September, has been fairly consistent, Toole said. The county spent some time in the warning range recently, not only for its new cases, but the number of its residents going to hospital emergency departments for COVID-19 symptoms. Toole said he was happy to see the state increase the number of regions in the state from 4 to 11 for determining when mitigation measures need to kick in, but there are some people who make an interesting argument for breaking it down even further. Okay, this article on the front page says, no fans, but your likeness can watch Illini. This is by Scott Ritchie. Only family members of Illinois football players and staff will actually physically be allowed inside Memorial Stadium to watch games this season because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But they could have some company for the four Illini home games. The best part, too, they won't have to worry about any of those fans becoming unruly or using foul language. Cardboard cutouts, like the ones that debuted over the summer in Major League Baseball parks, are coming to Illinois football home games in the pandemic-abbreviated 2020 season. Illinois announced Thursday that fans can purchase a cardboard cutout of themselves to be placed in one of several sections throughout the venue that can hold 60,670 spectators. Three different cardboard cutout packages are available with pricing dependent on which section a fan chooses. The most expensive package costs $99 and will have cutouts placed in sections 104 through 106 on the east side of Memorial Stadium. The sideline seats package costs $77 and will have cutouts placed in section 101 through 103 and 107 through 109 on the east side of the stadium. The end zone packages are $50 and will be placed on the north end zone student section part of the stadium and in the horseshoe. Fans can also add a signature from Illinois coach Lovie Smith to their cutout for $50, which covers shipping to the purchaser after the season and aids a good cause. The rest of the money will be donated to the Bobby Rountree Trust to assist the former Illinois football player's ongoing medical expenses. Rountree suffered a severe spinal injury in May 2019 during a swimming accident and is in a wheelchair. The announcement of the cardboard cutouts, with a deadline of October 16th to be in place for the first home game October 31st against Purdue, happened during Illinois' Thursday morning practice. Smith found out about them during his team's post-practice media Zoom call on Thursday morning. "We're just pumped up about having a chance to play in our home stadium," Smith said. "For a long period of time, we didn't think we were going to do that. Any kind of way you can make it feel like it is normal is a good thing. So looking forward to it and looking forward to see which cardboard pictures end up in the stadium." Cardboard cutouts, of course, won't do much in the way of adding to any tangible boost in environment. Any cheers or jeers from the Memorial Stadium crowd will be rather sparse. Redshirt sophomore running back Chase Brown said the Illini would have to get used to a mostly empty stadium. "We're going to have to bring the juice ourselves. I don't think it's going to be a problem. We bring energy every single day, whether it's at a game or at practice." Smith is expecting as much from his team. "It's great when you play in front of a lot of fans," he said, but that can't be you motivation for playing hard and playing with energy. Another article on the front page of the News Gazette is U of I opposes proposed limits on visas for international students. The University of Illinois is opposing new proposed visa rules that could limit how long international students can stay in the U.S. Last week, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security proposed ending a provision that lets international students stay for the length of their academic program. Academic institutions currently determine how long that is, but under the proposed rules, DHS would set a fixed length and allow for extensions. This change would provide the department with additional protections and mechanisms to exercise the oversight necessary to vigorously enforce our nation's immigration laws, protect the integrity of these non-immigrant programs, and promptly detect national security concerns, the agency said. But the U of I's international students and Scholar Services Office criticized the move for creating uncertainty. The University of Illinois strongly opposes this proposed change, Vice Provost Rintmetsi Obakeila and ISSS Director Marlon McFarlane wrote in email to international students, "We greatly believe in the value our international students and scholars bring to our campus and community, and creating uncertainty over our students' ability to complete the program is an unrecommendable action." They said the university would be submitting a letter with its concerns and joining educational associations to advocate against the proposed rule. DHS is taking comments on it until October 26th. The Graduate Employees Organization also issued a statement opposing the rule, calling it xenophobic. The stated rationale for this policy change is to combat terrorism in the U.S. Despite the presence of international students and people overstaying their visas, having nothing to do with terrorism on U.S. soil, the statement said. DHS might think that international students are a burden on the academic system and an easy target for political posturing, but we know they are an essential part of our university and this country's academic system. We have asked the admin a daily question for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. The question is, how effective is wastewater surveillance for COVID-19? Is that being done anywhere in this area or is it under consideration? Answer is, we are not aware of wastewater surveillance testing being done for COVID-19 in our county. There are several sewer districts that have expressed interest from the CDC. Data from wastewater testing is not meant to replace existing COVID-19 surveillance systems, but is meant to complement them by providing, one, an efficient pooled community sample, two, data for communities where timely COVID-19 clinical testing is underutilized or unavailable, three, data at the sub-county level. In Champaign County, we already know that we have COVID-19 in all areas of our county. There is not town or village that has been spared. Champaign County also has more access to testing than any other county in Illinois. The wastewater method would be more useful in areas with limited ability to test. If wastewater surveillance is done anywhere in Champaign County, the health district would certainly be interested in the data, but it is unlikely any of our messaging or actions would change. We already urge all parts of our county to wear face coverings, keep their distance from others, do not gather, and wash hands frequently and thoroughly. We also encourage people to go to the community-based testing site and marketplace mall to be tested. It is unlikely that this type of testing would turn up any results that would cause us to deviate from our guidance. And our next is an editorial, and it is Our Choices for Champaign County Government. Given the events of the past 2 years, voters should be especially attuned to just how important it is that our Champaign County office holders perform at high levels. With that in mind, here are our, meaning the News Gazette, preferred candidates for 5 local offices in the November 3rd ballot. For auditor, Democratic incumbent George Danis, who was elected in 2018 to fill the balance of a 2-year term, has performed well in his office and, in our view, deserves re-election to a full 4-year term. It's been our practice in the past to stick with county elected officials, no matter their political party, if they have been effective public officials. After all, these are largely administrative offices that require professional management, not a member of a particular political party or a follower of a liberal or conservative philosophy, to serve the public well. Daniels, a certified public accountant, has not just been an effective steward, but has also avoided the partisan problem that have plagued other county office holders. There is simply no reason to make a change. That is not to denigrate Daniels' opponent, Republican Gary Maxwell. An engineer and land surveyor, he was an effective member of the Champaign County Board and is quite familiar with county government. If elected, voters could be confident Maxwell could do the job. However, there is no good reason to make a change just for the sake of it. And for Circuit Clerk, during her 8 years in office, Republican incumbent Katie Blakeman has turned the circuit clerk's post from a rather routine topic of courthouse complaint into a reliable and well-run organization that serves both the needs of the public and the courts. For that, she has our enthusiastic recommendation for a third term. The Champaign County Judiciary is in the process of moving to a paper-free operation. Given how well Blakeman has handled previous challenges, particularly those related to technology, the public can be confident in the ultimate success of this endeavor under her leadership. Blakeman is opposed by Democrat Susan McGrath, a lawyer with 38 years of experience that includes 15 years as an assistant state's attorney in the civil division. McGrath has also served on the county board. She is steeped in experience related to local government. Doubtless, she can do the job of circuit clerk. However, there's no reason to fix what not only isn't broken, but running quite well. Voters are well advised to stick with Blakeman. She's proved herself worthy of support time and again. For the coroner, once again, our endorsement goes to an effective incumbent Republican, Dwayne Northrup. He's held the post since 2004, conducted thousands of death investigations, and undergone hundreds of hours of training. Over that time, he's been involved in a number of professional organizations related to the sometimes grisly and awful heartbreaking job of coroner. There's nothing glamorous about conducting death investigations, no matter whether they are natural or the result of some kind of tragedy. Whatever the challenges, Northrup has proved himself able to carry out the coroner's responsibilities in an effective, empathetic, and professional manner. He's opposed by Democratic social worker Chandra Bishop. Give her credit for offering voters a choice, but Bishop brings little in the way of coroner-type credentials to this contest. Making a change here is asking for trouble that is wisely avoided by re-electing Northrup. And there are a few more offices, and I will come back to the News Gazette's editorial opinion about the election of those offices after we take this break. This is Betty, and as I said, we're going to be taking a break, and we'll be coming back with the second half of reading the News Gazette for Friday, October 2nd.